go top some. Top notch, she with the bullshit and she on some. Popping out, we in this bitch and we thugging out. Fuck it up, I know when my bitch moves up. Cup a cup, and we ain't playing when we fucked up. You fuck with punch, you know I got it if you need some. You know how my niggas switch it up, back to back. You know how a nigga run it out in the corner.
Welcome back, Lions, to Behind the Smoke with Lion in the Den. I got my special guest with me, the fabulous Sticky Sweet. What up?
What up?
Shit, chilling, enjoying the night, you know what I'm saying? About to hop into this book, can't wait to see what was going on. I know we already had our predictions, you feel me? But we'll get to that later. Just in case if you're new to the show, man, listen. This is a show about information exchange. On this PCast, I read for about 30 to 40. You feel me? You got some music in between, smoke breaks, or whatever breaks I want. It happens like that. I'm the one reading. After I read, me and my guests, we discuss, you know, what I read. Or a different topic. Whatever, man. You know what I'm saying? Or anything related to the issues. So listen, I want y'all to join in the convo, read and smoke along, you feel me? And or lay back and chill. Right now, Hardy Beans, man, stop capping. Man, today, if you're here for the first time, you know we've been reading the history of Mary Prince, written and told by Mary Prince. You feel me? On this PCast, we like to read books no one else is reading or has read. You feel me? Anyway, just give you a little background on the book just in case you ain't never heard of it. It's about a slave in the British colonies. You know what I'm saying? She vividly recalls her life in the West Indies, her rebellion against physical and psychological degradation, and her eventual escape in 1828 in England. So, just think about that for a minute. So, I'm about to spark this L. You know what I'm saying? Once I spark this L, man, we finna get into it head first. You know what I mean? Real, this is gonna be a good session too. This is gonna be a real good session. Kelly on Supreme was on it. You feel me? Alright. If you ain't tuned into the last show, you know what I'm saying? She just been sold to a new master. She working in the salt mines right now. You feel me? That's Mary Prince. We about to take off, y'all. Oh, shit. Hold on. I'm losing pages. Oh, snap. I'm losing pages, bud. Though we worked from morning till night, there was no satisfying Mr. D. I hoped when I left Captain I that I should be better off your back window. But I found it was but going from one butcher to another. Out of fire in their frying pan. There was this difference between them. My former master used to beat me while raging and foaming with passion. Mr. D was usually quite calm. He would stand by and give orders for a slave to be cruelly whipped and assist in the punishment without moving a muscle in his face. Walking about and taking snuff with the greatest composure. Nothing could touch his hard heart, neither sighs, nor tears, nor prayers, nor streaming blood. He was deaf to our cries and careless of our sufferings. Mr. D was often stripped me naked, hung me up by the wrist, and beat me with the cowskin with his own hand till my body was raw with gashes. Yet there was nothing very remarkable in this, for it might serve as a sample of the common usage of the slave on that horrible island. Owing to the boils in my feet, I was unable to wheel the barrel fast enough through the sand, which got into the sores and made me stumble at every step. And my master, having no pity for my suffering from this cause, rendered them far more intolerable by chastising me for not being able to move so fast as he wished me. Another of our employments was to row a little way off from the shore in a boat and dive for large stones to build a wall around our master's house. Damn. This was very hard work, and the great waves breaking over us continually, making us often so giddy that we lost our footing and were in danger of being drowned. Why are they always saying that slaves couldn't swim back then? Ah, poor me. My tasks were never ended. Sick or well, it was work, work, work. After the diving season was over, we were sent to South Creek with large bills to cut up mangoes to burn lime with. I wonder why. Whilst one party of slaves were thus employed, another were sent to the other side of the island to break up coral out of the sea. I know that had to be hard as hell. Coral ain't no joke. When we were ill, let our complaint be what it might, the only medicine given to us was a great bowl of hot salt water with salt mixed with it, which made us very sick. If we could not keep up with the rest of the gang of slaves, we were put into the stocks and severely flogged the next morning. Yet, not the less, our master expected, after we had thus been kept up from our rest and our limbs rendered stiff and sore with ill usage, that we should still go through the ordinary tasks of the day all the time. Sometimes we had to work all night, measuring salt to load a vessel or turning a machine to draw water out of the sea for salt making. Then we had no sleep, no rest, but were forced to work as fast as we could and go on again all next day, the same as usual. Work, work, work. Oh, that Turks Island was a horrible place. The people in England, I am sure, have never found out what is carried on there. Cruel, horrible place. Mr. D had a slave called Old Daniel, whom he used to treat in the most cruel manner. Poor Daniel was lame in the hip and could not keep up with the rest of the slaves. And our master would order him to be stripped and laid down on the ground and have him beaten with a rod of rough briar till his skin was quite red and raw. He would then call for a bucket of salt and fling upon the raw flesh till the man writhed on the ground like a worm. Wow. And screamed aloud and with agony. The poor man's wounds were never healed, and I have often seen them full of maggots, which increased his torments to an intolerable degree. He was an object of pity and terror to the whole gang of slaves. In his wretched case, we saw, each of us, our own lot, if we should live to be as old. That shit crazy. All the horrors of slavery. How the thought of it pains my heart, but the truth ought to be told of it. And what my eyes have seen, I think it is my duty to relate. For few people in England know what slavery is. I have been a slave. I have felt what a slave feels. And I know what a slave knows. And I would have all the good people in England to know it too, that they may break our chains and set us free. Mr. D had another slave called Ben. He, being very hungry, stole a little rice one night after he came in from work and cooked it for his supper. But his master soon discovered the theft, locked him up all night, and kept him without food till 1 o'clock the next day. He then hung Ben up by his hands and beat him from time to time. Till the slaves came in at night for some rice, my nigga. That's some real police shit. We found the poor creature hung up when we came home, with a pool of blood beneath him, and our master still licking him. But this was not the worst. My master's son was in the habit of stealing the rice and rum. Wow. Ben had seen him do this and thought he might do the same. And when Master found out that Ben had stolen some rice and swore to punish him, he tried to excuse himself by saying that Master Dickie did the same thing every night. He told on his son. Man, hold on. Kelly on Supreme, 223. The lad denied it to his father and was so angry with Ben for informing against him that out of rage he ran and got a bayonet and whilst the poor wretch was suspended by his hands and writhing under his wounds, he run it quite through his foot. What? I was not by when he did it, but I saw the wound when I came home and heard Ben tell the manner in which it was done. I must say something more about this cruel son of a cruel father. He had no heart, no fear of God. He had been brought up by a bad father in a bad path, and he delighted to follow in the same steps. Ain't that so? There was a little old woman among the slaves called Sarah. Bless you. Who was nearly past work, so she was hella old. And Master Dickie, being the overseer, we already know what that means, of the slaves just then, this poor creature, who was subject to several bodily infirmities and was not quite right in her head, did not wield the barrel fast enough to please him. He threw her on the ground. He threw her down on the ground. And after beating her severely, he took her up in his arms and flung her among the prickly pear bushes. Wow. Which are all covered over with sharp, venomous prickles. By this, her naked flesh was so grievously wounded that her body swelled and festered all over. And she died in a few days after. In telling my own sorrows, I cannot pass by those of my fellow slaves. For when I think of my own griefs, I remember theirs. I think I was about 10 years old. I had worked in the salt pounds at Turk Island when my master left off to business and retired to a house he had in Bermuda, leaving his son to succeed him in the island. So all this was happening before she was even 10. Dying. Okay. He took me with him to wait upon his daughters. And I was joyful. For I was sick. Sick of Turk's Island. When everybody put it on. The tobacco stick. And my heart yearned to see my native place again, my mother and my kindred. I had seen my poor mother during the time I was a slave in Turks Island. One Sunday morning, I was on the beach with some of the slaves, and we saw a slop come in loaded with slaves to work in the salt water. We got a boat and went aboard. When I came upon the deck, I asked the black people, "Is there anyone here for me?" "Yes," they said, "your mother." I thought they said this in jest. I could scarcely believe them for joy. But when I saw my poor mammy, my joy was turned to sorrow. Wow. For she had gone from her senses. "Mammy," I said, "is this you?" She did not know me. "Mammy," I said, "what's the matter?" Party beans, feel yourself.
How'd it fell out?
It's nothing. It's nothing in there. Some juice. "Mammy," I said, "what's the matter?" She began to talk foolishly and said that she had been under the vessel's bottom. They had been overtaken by a violent storm at sea. My poor mother had never been on the sea before, and she was so ill that she lost her senses, and it was long before she came quite to herself again. She had a sweet child with her, a little sister I have never seen, about 4 years of age, called Rebecca. I took her on shore with me, for I felt I should love her directly, and I kept her with me a week. Poor little thing. Hers has been a sad life and continues so to this day. Dang. My mother worked for some years on the island, but was taken back to Bermuda some time before my master carried me again to there. After I left Turks Island, I was told by some Negroes that came over from it that the poor slaves had built up a place with boughs and leaves where they might meet for prayers. But the white people pulled it down twice.
That's crazy.
And would not allow them even a shed for prayers. A flood came down soon after and washed away many houses, filled the place with sand, and overflowed the ponds. And I don't think that this was for their wickedness. For the Bakra men, there were very wicked. I saw and heard much that was very, very bad at that place. I was several years the slave of Mr. D after I returned to my native place. Here I worked in the grounds. My work was planting and hoeing sweet potatoes, Indian corn, plantains, you feel? Plantains, bananas, cabbage, pumpkins, onions, and etc. I did all the housework and attended upon a horse and cow, besides going also upon all errands. I had to curry the horse, to clean and feed him, and sometimes to ride him a little. I had more than enough to do, but still it was not so very bad as Turk Island. I sold my identity to it, but my old master often got drunk, and then he would get in a fury with his daughter and beat her till she was not fit to be seen. Damn. I remember on one occasion, I had gone to fetch water, and when I was coming up the hill, I heard a great screaming. I ran as fast as I could to the house, put down the water, and went into the chamber where I found my master beating Mrs. D dreadfully. I strove with all my strength to get her away from him. They beating each other up and she trying to stop the fight. Oh man. For she was all black and blue with bruises. He had beat her with his fist and almost killed her. The people gave me credit for getting her away. He turned around and began to lick me. Then I said, "Sir, this is not Turk's Island." I can't repeat his answer. The words were too wicked, too bad to say. He wanted to treat me the same in Bermuda as he had done in Turk's Island. He had an ugly fashion of stripping himself quite naked and ordering me then to wash him in a tub of water. This was worse to me than all the licks. Sometimes, when he called me to wash him, I would not come. My eyes were so full of shame. He would then come to beat me. One time, I had plates and knives in my hand, and I dropped both plates and knives, and some of the plates were broken. He struck me so severely for this that at last I defended myself, for I thought it was high time to do so. I then told him I would no longer live with him, for he was a very indecent man, very spiteful and too indecent. With no shame for his servants, no shame for his own flesh. So I went away to a neighboring house and sat down and cried till the next morning. When I went home again, not knowing what else to do, after that, I was hired to work at Cedar Hills, and every Saturday night, I paid the money to my master. I had plenty of work to do there, plenty of washing, but yet I made myself pretty comfortable. So she fought back. I earned $2.25 a week, which is 20 pence a day. So 20 pennies a day. During the time I worked there, I heard that Mr. John Wood was going to Antigua. I felt a great wish to go there, and I went to Mr. D and asked him to let me go in Mr. Wood's service. Mr. Wood did not then want to purchase me. It was my own fault that I came under him. I was so anxious to go. It was ordained to be, I suppose. God led me there. The truth is, I did not wish to be any longer the slave of my indecent master. Mr. Wood took me with him to Antigua, the town of St. John's, where he lived. This was about 15 years ago. He did not then know whether I was to be sold, but Miss Woods found that I could work and she wanted to buy me. Her husband then wrote to my master to inquire whether I was to be sold. Mr. D wrote in reply that I should not be sold to anyone that would treat me ill. It was strange he should say this when he had treated me so ill himself. So I was purchased by Mr. Wood for $300. Damn, boy. That was coming up. My work there was to attend to the chambers and nurse the child, and to go down to the pond and wash clothes. But I soon fell ill of the rheumatism and grew so very lame that I was forced to walk with a stick. Damn. I got the St. Anthony's fire also in my left leg and became quite a cripple. So no one cared much to come near me, and I was ill a long time. For several months, I could not lift the limb. I had to lie in a little old outhouse that was swarming with bugs and other vermin, which tormented me greatly. But I had no other place to lie in. I got the rheumatism by catching cold at the pond side from washing in the fresh water. In the salt water, I never got cold. The person who lived in the next yard, a Mrs. Green, could not bear to hear my cries and groans. She was kind.
Bless.
Kelly on Supreme, have emotion. To send an old slave woman to help me, who sometimes brought me a little soup. When the doctor found I was so ill, he said I must be put into a bath of hot water. The old slave got the bark of some bush that was good for pains, which she boiled in the hot water. And every night she came and put me into the bath and did what she could for me. I don't know what I should have done or what would have become of me had it not been for her. my mistress, it is true, did send me a little food, but no one from her family came near me but the cook. Who used to shove my food in at the door and say, "Molly, Molly, there's your dinner." My mistress did not care to take any trouble about me. And if the Lord had not put it into the hearts of the neighbors to be kind to me, I must, I really think, have lain and died. Hardy beans, mind free.
So I brought the CDF, double shots up in my cup. They say Hardy beans don't give a fuck. They off that perk, they chewin' on some. Got you, I wanna go get you on some. Miley Cyrus chillin' on some. They say they need it, you know I got it. Wanna get mad cause they know what we doing. And your bitch wanna fuck with a nigga right now cause you know what I'm doing now. Don't even know, see all of my boxes, you wanna get in right now. Too many niggas already know how little bitch really get down. And she don't even give a fuck right now cause she gon' get down. She gon' ride to this, she gon' move to this. She gon' swerve to this, she gon' do to this.
It was a long time before I got well enough to work in the house. Miss Wood, in the meanwhile, hired a mulatto woman to nurse the child. But she was such a fine lady, she wanted to be mistress over me. I thought it very hard for a colored woman to have rule over me because I was a slave and she was free. Her name was Martha Wilcox. She was a saucy woman, very saucy. And she went and complained of me without cause to my mistress and made her very angry with me. Miss Wood told me that if I did not mind what I was about, she would get my master to strip me and give me 50 lashes. "You have been used to the whip," she said, "and you shall have it here." This was the first time she threatened to have me flogged, and she gave me the threatening so strong of what she would have done to me that I thought I should have fallen down at her feet. I was so vexed and hurt by her words. The mulatto woman was rejoiced to have power to keep me down. She was constantly making mischief. There was no living for the slaves, no peace after she came. I was also sent by Mrs. Wood to be put in the cargo one night and was next morning flogged by the magistrate's order at her desire. And this all for a quarrel I had about a pig with another slave woman. I was flogged on my naked back on this occasion, although I was in no fault after all. For old Justice D, when we came before him, said that I was in the right and ordered the pig to be given to me. This was about 2 to 3 years after I came to Antigua. When we moved from the middle of the town to the point, I used to be in the house and do all the work and mind the children. Though still very ill with rheumatism, every week I had to wash 2 large bundles of clothes, as much as a boy could help me to live. But I could give no satisfaction. My mistress was always abusing and threatening after me. It was not possible to tell all her ill language. One day, she followed me foot after foot, scolding and rating me. I bore in silence a great deal of ill words. At last, my heart was quite full, and I told her that she ought not to use me so, that when I was ill, I might have lain and died for what she cared, and no one would then come near me to nurse me, because they were afraid of my mistress. This was a great affront. She called her husband and told him what I said. He flew into a passion, but did not beat me then. He only abused and swore at me, and then gave me a note
and bade me to go and look for an owner. Wow. Not that he meant to sell me, but he did this to please his wife and to frighten me. I went to Adam White, a copper, a free black who had money, and asked him to buy me. He went directly to Mr. Wood, but was informed that I was not to be sold. The next day, my master whipped me. Another time, about 5 years ago, my mistress got vexed with me because I fell sick and I could not keep on with my work. She complained to her husband and he sent me off again to look for an owner. I went to a Mr. Bushel, showed him the note and asked him to buy me for my benefit, for I had saved about $100 and hoped with a little help to purchase my freedom. He accordingly went to my master, Mr. Woods, he said. Molly has brought me a note that she wants an owner. If you intend to sell her, I may as well buy her as another. My master put him off and said that he did not mean to sell me. I was very sorry at this, for I had no comfort with Mrs. Wood, and I wished greatly to get my freedom. The way in which I made my money was this. When my master and mistress went from home, as they sometimes did, and left me to take care of the house and premises, I had a good deal of time to myself and made the most of it. I took in washing and sold coffee and yams and other provisions to the captains of ships. She was a hustler. I did not sit still idling during the absence of my owners, for I wanted, by all honest means, to earn money to buy my freedom. Sometimes I bought a hog cheap on board ship and sold it for double the money on shore. And I also earned a good deal by selling coffee. By this means, I by degrees acquired a little cash. A gentleman also lent me some to help to buy my freedom. But when I could not get free, he got it back again. His name was Captain Abbott. Man, I'm about to stop there, man. So listen, Hardy Beans. Wait. So if you're just checking in, man, we finished off at the top of page 82. And so far, she started off with her working in the salt mines. She cussed her owner out. No, she was working in salt mines. Then she was working solo for her owner in Bermuda. Her owner was treating her bad. She cussed him out. And then she ended up being able to go to Antigua. So
she got sold again?
She got sold again for $300 this time. And then
the crazy part is that even though she cussed him out and she ain't let him treat her like trash no more, he told her his new owner to make sure he treat her good. Crazy. So now she with these new owners. Every time they get mad, they don't really, they beat her, but on top of beating her, they tell her she can go see if somebody else will buy her. And then they don't sell her, they just want to make her feel like trash. But she a hustler. We coming to the end where she is hustling every time they leave, you know what I'm saying? She ain't just drinking or whatever. You feel me? She on her grind. But it's still interesting that even through all this, even through all the beatings and all this other stuff, you know what I'm saying? That she's still a break up a fight between two white folks. You know what I mean? Instead of just letting them murk each other off.
Or fucking running away instead of making money.
Something.
You got that much time?
You feel me?
A lot of niggas going on day trips. Sound like she was like,
come on, bro. What killed me is that another sister was holding her down. But anyway, I'm here with my guest Sticky Man. And let, you know what I'm saying? What you got to say, Sticky? I'm talking hella low, so I gotta put my ear here. How you felt about what we just
the conditions. In which she lived in and what they lived in. And I said the point that she kept saying, she only refers to black people as creatures or slaves. Mm. What is that about? You know what I mean? Not even on purpose, but just I guess the mental about it. I never heard of anything different.
For real. Just her lingo. You know what I'm saying? Like the beef when she was talking about the beef between her and the mulatto lady. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. And how that went, you feel me? The way she was talking about that, you could just kind of see, well, the way she wrote it, you could just feel like she had deep anger towards her, you know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. Like deeper than the white lady who was beating her, you know what I mean? It was crazy, man.
That shit hurtful.
Hurtful.
You know, people, that's why. You know, people do it to you. So.
What you think about her ability to be able to cuss her masters out and still be able to maneuver around to different islands as she see fit?
Maybe it did exist more that. Maybe if you did stand up for yourself as a slave, mm-hmm. you would show more love mm-hmm. instead of being submissive mm-hmm. forever.
For sure.
Cause I don't know how this. I mean, if I didn't know she wrote the book, I would have sworn that right after that she would be dead.
Man. That's me. You know what I noticed though, in reading this narrative, is that the people who got treated the worst were the people who were like special needs, the people who couldn't fight back. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. The people who wasn't upstart, you know what I'm saying? The people who couldn't, like, be vocal. Mm-hmm. they were dogged the worst. You know what I mean? Like, how you pick an old lady up and throw her in some prickle bushes after you beat her, dog?
That's not even, that's what I'm saying. It will only get worse. Like, that. It will only get worse. Especially over time. I think this what that shows too. That over time in this, as time went by with each different master, is the punishments get harsher.
Man.
It's like they learn, you know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
From these experiments.
More psychological type shit.
And so over time, like how that crazy. Live your whole life like that, your kids, you know.
Yeah.
About her her mom. But she was in the underpassage. And her mom was in the underpassage?
Yeah.
She said she was under the ship.
Under the ship, dog. Went crazy under the ship.
I mean, think about that's something to think about, how often that must have happened. I mean, we are people.
People.
We are human beings.
Correct.
So, you know, we're not wild animals. We don't know how to deal with something like that. Can't use the bathroom. Don't have nothing to eat.
Man. That shit was crazy. That shit is crazy. Like the level of niggas of her beatdowns,
mm-hmm.
level of other people's beatdowns for little to no offense. You know, that's like the biggest thing to know, like a nigga could do something to you and it's just like nothing. It's like whatever.
Mm-hmm. Nigga,
how can you be in a place like that?
Mm-hmm.
You know, how can you feel confident in a situation like that?
Well, she ain't talked about how she tried to rally up no niggas yet, so we'll see.
I think she got a silver tongue. Like, I think she know how to move around those motherfuckers.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Because, you know, so far, when she's requested to be sold or moved, it's worked out in her benefit. But she said, it sounded like when she was saying, like, when she went to Antigua, like, she should have known better. Like, she should have stayed where she was at.
Mm.
She was more comfortable where she was at. But, I don't know. It's pretty crazy. Very crazy.
Why are you taking back?
Cali on Supreme. Being honest. Standing on the block that's every day. Put it on the stove, I gotta get paid. I've been around the drugs since a young age. So let me ask you this real quick before we get up out of here.
Yeah.
Was there ever a time where you felt like if you stood up for yourself, it was going to turn out bad, worse than it really did. And you ended up standing up for yourself, and it worked out great.
So what was the time that I stood up for myself, but I thought I imagined that it would be worse than the reaction was?
Yeah. Or just any time you was afraid to say something. It don't have to be like you stood up for yourself or something like monumental. But any time you was afraid to say something, then you did.
Okay.
Because you couldn't help it. It worked out.
Okay. When I was at the testing center.
Okay.
And it happened like, it probably happened like two or three times before I said something. But you know, when they would come in, when you come in to take a test at Pearson in Orlando, you go in there, you show your ID, some exams, you do your fingerprint. Everybody gotta take a picture. Not as it tells Sue, like, you gotta chill. You can't be asking women to take their wig off.
Yeah. Yeah.
You can't do that.
Yeah.
Like, you just cannot do that. I hope they ain't go back to that shit, but. And it was like, you know, okay. I think it still was some bullshit, like, you have to look under there or something. I don't know. I think it was. But yeah, that shit was crazy.
That is crazy. That is crazy. That's crazy.
But I thought about it, yeah. I was like, what was I worried about?
Yeah.
That shit was fucking bullshit.
Yeah.
And the fact that that's good, she realized that I would fucking say something. So she's like, you know, let me be easy. Not more like, fuck you, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
About her, I'm gonna get you in trouble.
Yeah.
Yeah. You know what I mean? Don't think it's a race thing. That's what I'm saying. And I realized, yeah, it is. How the fuck I'm gonna be here? Working here, I don't say nothing.
Yeah.
You know? I was thinking of one time, but it did turn out worse. I was thinking, I don't know why this happened. But anyway, what I was thinking in my head is totally, I guess, not off topic, but opposite of the topic.
Go ahead, from though. Speak on it. Speak on it, though.
The reason I just remember, you know what I'm saying, confrontation, you know what I'm saying, or disagreement.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like, should you say this or not, right?
Yeah.
And you say something and it turns out to be less. But when I was in the car with Tiffany on her birthday, that was one of the times where, you know what I'm saying, I think I called her fucking drunk or something like that.
Yeah.
And it turned into the worst thing ever. It was exact, it was opposite. Okay, not exactly, it was literally opposite. Like, to let shit just blow up
into another level.
Yeah, but even though that happens, that makes a way for the next time when you say something.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
That you can get that better reaction.
Because at least you know what's, well, you know what's too far. Yeah. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, you know it's too far.
After I broke my thumbnail, almost sprained my thumb, trying to get a rebound. Mm. I was playing basketball at Western. Why that's so funny? Yeah, Western. And I told my dad, like, I'm done with this. I'm done. I'm breaking my nail. Nah. Like, okay, baby. Can't do it.
But you know what? Out of all that, you know what I'm saying? Thank you for sharing for real. Thank you for sharing for real, for real. Because I'm too high. I can't even put together nothing. I can't put together
nothing.
Hardy beans, man. Chances.
Just talking about nothing.
All right, man, look, before we get out of here, man, I gotta give special thanks, you know what I'm saying, to my special guests, you know what I'm saying, the finest lady I know in the world, you feel me? Sticky Swiss Knees. Thank you, baby.
Sexual chocolate.
For sure.
And say that shit. If you wondering from our convo, you know what I'm saying, what's better or worse, you know, standing up for yourself and it being less of a reaction, mm-hmm, opposed to, I mean, compared to that it might happen, that it blow up, I think that you should do it every situation.
Definitely.
So say that shit with your chest.
Definitely.
You might have to get ready to squab. Agree. But do that shit.
Do that shit. Stand up for yourself.
That's it.
Always.
Tenji.
Always. Out. Start with the little things. With that being said, man, I like to give thanks to everyone that's listening. Special thanks to everyone that's listening, man. Without you, this wouldn't be possible. I'd like to invite you back for the next Behind the Smoke with Lion. In the den, you know what I mean? Listen, if you have music, a book suggestion, hit me up. I'm on social media, LT, Master Poet, everything, man. That includes Gmail. You know what I'm saying? Like, comment, subscribe. And with that being said, y'all know how I do at the end. Come on, children. Read every day.
What's up?
Come on, children. Sleep 6 to 8.
What's up?
Come on, children. Just keep praying. Come on, children. All day long. Hey, man, y'all hold it down, man. Straight up, Lions. Hardy beans, man. Body count. I don't own the rights to none of this music.
All time, bitch, I'm on your way. 17, pull on me, this is no sleep. Run out, This your love, and that's all be money talk. What's your walk on you whole niggas? Got a bitch, set him up, and that's all he constant. Cuz sippin' on some whole shit, hard down. That nigga stay pistol down. My nigga was ready for